Oh, I'm sorry. We're live, huh? Well, I have a quick question. I'm just checking out this book here. Do you really think micromanagement is just going to go away? Or are you really ready to finally, and I do mean finally, take control? Today's episode, we're going to unpack breaking free from micromanagement. Let's look at these three quick components: thriving at work, building trust, and effective communication. See, when we thrive at work, we reclaim your professional independence through proven techniques. Building trust establishes relationships based on results rather than oversight. And finally, effective communication, being able to create dialogue that promotes autonomy while meeting expectations. Let's get into our first point here. Share the how, not just the what. Again, share the how, not just the what. I remember my mentor shared that with me one day. He said, you know, when I see a issue or a problem that happens, I want to know not just what the problem was, but I want to know the process of why they got to that particular problem. Because once we start understanding the process, it allows us to demonstrate through thoughtful preparation to reduce any type of managerial anxiety. We have to be able to create visibility. And that goes by having the ability to actually outline your steps. What does that look like, ED? Well, it looks like briefly explanation during check-ins to reassure your managers you are on the actual right track. Don't hide the problems. Just present the solutions. First of all, let's identify the issue. We want to spot problems early, often before they have to be escalated. Then we want to analyze the actual impact, understand how issues affect project outcomes. And then finally, we want to propose a particular solution. Let me park here parenthetically, family. I want you to understand one thing and one thing only. When you are hired because if there is an issue that comes up, you want to be able to propose a particular solution. Now, your solution may be way off base, but I would rather have somebody, watch this, that took the time to at least think of a solution than having the manager having to do all the thinking for the particular solution. And what I mean by that is that we have to understand that all solutions may not work, because this is one of the reasons that we have to collaborate together to find a good solution, but at least present a solution that is actionable and that potentially can fix the issue, because this truly demonstrates your accountability. Let's move on to the next point. Clarify intent. Just don't take directions. So we want to ask that why question. I know as a child, I always talk about this. As a kid, we used to ask a lot of why questions, like, well, why do you do it that way? Okay, well, why is that happening? And why is this happening? But we got so far removed because we got our credentials or we got our work experience. So now we feel that we don't ask these why questions. But one thing I learned in talking with an executive one day, he sat me down. He said, do you know why I ask a lot of questions? I said, no, I'm curious. He said, well, the reason why is because I want to see how well they know the information. I want to know if they're going to bluff or make up things along the way, because, you know, a lot of people like to make up things in the journey and make up things along the way, but they're not answering the actual question. If you don't know the answer, you don't have to fake it till you make it, because this is why you have a team. Yes, you are the project manager, but you are not a hero. You're someone that you should be able to reach back to your team if you don't have the information. One of my key things that I love using is when I don't know the answer to something, I'll say, hey, I don't have enough information to answer that accurately. Would you mind if I circle back with you with 1 hour work with you and I'll get you the answer? How would you like that answer presented to you? Would you like it in email? Would you like me to just set up a quick touch point with you? So I'm providing options. This way, the individual knows that, again, I am thinking, but I'm just not going to throw anything at the executive or any type of management or leadership just because it sounds good. And then restate your objectives. You want to confirm your understanding in the meetings in a written summary. Why a written summary? If you're new here, then you probably never heard me say this before, but I'm gonna print you a digital copy right now. Documentation beats conversation. Oh, you want me to say it again because I'm feeling feeling good. Documentation beats conversation. The reason why documentation beats conversation, because you may be jumping from meeting to meeting, and we want to ensure it's not about covering yourself, even though it is, but we still want to be clear that we are giving, we're setting the person that we've made an agreement with up for success. A lot of times we don't want to document the conversation because we feel like, oh, well, you know, it looks like I'm trying to get this person or that person in trouble. No. We need to ensure we're all aligned. There's no misunderstanding. And then align your approach. Show how your work method supports the larger goal. Let's get into the next thing. Normalizing constructive feedback sessions. I know a lot of times when you set up these one-on-ones and these regular meetings, the environment is not there. See, a lot of times, a lot of people don't feel comfortable really having the communication with their manager because the environment is not there. So being able to create a structured environment for feedback exchange really opens the dialogue, meaning we can have an open discussion, invite concerns in controlled and professional settings. I always talk about something that I really became really impressed with the four psychological safeties. This is so huge because if I feel safe, I'm going to be transparent with you, but I'm going to be transparent in a professional manner, of course. And then we want to focus on improvement. We want to keep these conversations centered on a mutual growth as well as progress. Document key decisions. We talked about that again. Conversation beats documentation. Record agreements. We want to capture decisions made during meetings immediately. Now, when you do this, you want to share the documentation and ensure that these notes are distributed to your project team as well as your stakeholders after the discussion. And then we want to create a reference. Where are we going to put this at? Is it going to be SharePoint? Is it going to be Box? Is it going to be whatever the cloud environment that you have at your organization? We want to put it there and we want to keep it, make sure we label it accordingly, just in case anybody has any questions. And I know people think from a security reasons, well, we know how to mark certain documents private in a way that only certain people can get access to it. But you want to make sure your manager has full access just in case you're on vacation that day or you're out sick or whatever that is, that they can't get a hold of you. There still is a bridge to communication of, because they know what the last update is. See, a lot of times reason why micromanage happens most of the time is because we're not setting our managers up. We're not setting our leaders up for success. So the anxiety kicks in. And so they're constantly hovering over you. They're constantly saying, where's this at? Where's that at? And also maybe something has happened in their career where they gave a little bit of leeway and in turn, it didn't work in the organization or their favor. Let's move on to the next one. Proactively offer comfort checks. What's a comfort check? I'm not talking about a nice blanket or remember those little snuggy things that you put on. I don't know if they're still out, but we want to take initiatives. We don't want to wait for the manager. We want to check in first. What's checking in first? It's, you know, it's one of those things where you just say, hey, I want to let you know what the update is. And I know a lot of people say, well, why I got to do overkill? Why I got to give so much information? Listen, we're talking about exceptionalists. If you want to be average, stay over there. This episode is not for you, but this is for my exceptional people. We want to ask direct questions. Do you have any concerns on our current progress? You don't? Great. All right, let's move on. Then we want to provide that reassurance. Address worries before they trigger the actual micromanagement. A lot of times, see, everyone has a trigger. I don't care who you is. You'll follow up with someone and they may even think you're micromanaging them because they didn't provide you that reassurance. They didn't let you know ahead of time so you're not blindsided. And then you want to welcome input. Now, let me park here real quick too. Welcoming input is not someone putting you down, but they should be building you up in a way to provide you with direct feedback that fits your particular personality. And how will they know what your personality is? This is what we talked about earlier in one of the slides where we said, hey, we need to set up those one-on-one meetings and that's how we can connect. So being able to show genuine openness and guidance to direction, deliver small victories early. See, when you identify quick wins, you want to choose tasks that showcase competency and that can be completed quickly. Because the more you can gain the trust of your manager, the more that manager is going to want to lean back a little bit and say, okay, I believe this person got it. I can just kind of lean back and focus on some other things. But you also want to execute flawlessly. What does that look like? We always talk about execution is worship. Now, I love planning. I think planning is important, but we can't plan so much that we get distracted by the plan that we don't even execute. How many of those checklists that you've had personally that you had laid out? Okay, maybe I'm telling my story. I've had checklists, lists long, and how many items did I get to them? One or two. So, and then in the job, you're looking at it, you got this whole long list of checklists and you haven't even executed on one thing, or you built out this massive project schedule, and then you don't even execute on the schedule, but you're in the planning phase. So we want to be able to deliver the initial task with exceptional quality and attention. Highlight achievements. Proactively share success to build confidence in your abilities. Again, when we're having these one-on-one weekly meetings, we want to be able to touch a point. I'll even take it a step further. Maybe you want to take borrow from the Scrum framework and have a 15-minute touch point. Hey, in the morning or in the afternoon, whatever that looks like for you. Hey, I just want to let you know what I'm working on today, what I worked on yesterday, and here's a particular impediment I'm dealing with. And I know what you're saying. This, again, ED, this is overkill. You're probably right. But you know what? This is what separates you from everyone else. If you want to get separated from everyone else, I would say experiment with this. I'd never tell you what to do. Always want to tell you how to actually go about experimenting with it. And then again, moving on to transparency. I don't know why. I understand we're trying to secure our job opportunity and we're nervous to share certain things, but sometimes you have to have a transparency buffer because the more you can set that leader up for success, the more you can set that manager up for success, the better your relationship is, because now they're more than willing to have your back, your side, your front to ensure that you got a chance to win. So create shared documents, as we talked about, deliver or develop status reports that managers can access at any time. Like I talked about, your SharePoint, whatever your cloud is. If you don't have cloud, repository at your organization, then set up something where they can get access to a folder on your drive. But you want to make sure and keep this thing updated regularly. You want to make sure you're in where the current progress is, as well as, watch this, the next steps. A lot of people don't have the next steps. Hey, what are we going to do next? So that way, if the manager or leader hears something from the executive saying, hey, we're about to go in a different direction, and they're looking at your schedule or your project management plan, and I'm going to go on a rant right here. There is a difference between a project management plan and a project schedule. Okay, I'm back to today's episode. But seriously, we want to ensure that we have next steps lined up, because the better we have these next steps lined up, the better, again, we can set up our leader or manager up for success. Build visual dashboards. One thing I love about the agile mindset is informational radar. What I love about them is because you can put them up if you're on site, a place where people can walk by and see where they're at. And then if you really want to get fancy on them, then having a digital board that keeps up in real time. I like that. Reason why I like that, because now you're not going to come over and tap me on the shoulder and say, hey, where we're at with such and such. You don't have to ask me because it's in real time on that digital board. Also, you'll know that if we're falling behind that, hey, we need to connect real quick so we can make sure we're aligned. Maintain regular updates. Like I said, consistency beats anything. That's anything in life, family. I'm just going to take a small personal development break for you and really help you on this one. Anytime you're consistent in anything, anytime you've been consistent in anything, you've seen results. I know that you want to go to the gym and get a six pack, but it's not going to happen overnight. The consistency happens when the six pack happens when you do consistency over and over and over again. So set consistent schedules for refreshing shared information. Put it on your calendar or set a timer on your watch, whatever, however it works for you. For me, I would have a timer. I would have a alarm on my phone, and I would have it on the calendar, because I'm having a plan A in case a plan B goes left. If for some odd reason I'm in a meeting and I can't get to my calendar, and I know, hey, I got to get this update out. Soon as I get out that meeting, I know, boom, I need to make it happen. Your path forward. Trust-based workplace. See, enjoying greater autonomy and professional satisfaction happens when you build trust, when you develop trust. And again, family, doesn't happen overnight. I know it would be nice if we can walk into our organization and trust, boom, magically happens, but it doesn't. That manager or that leader doesn't know you. Yeah, you may have interviewed extremely well. However, they don't know you. So you want to develop that type of environment so they can get to know you. So this is when we have consistent application, that word consistent again. I know you're getting tired of me saying it. However, this is what sets people apart. And I know if you're here today and you're listening to me today, you want to be set apart. And then the core principles, transparency, initiative, and being reliable. See, I'm not claiming I'm the smartest person in the world, but you know what? I know how to show up. And when I mean showing up, I'm there. I may not have the answer, but I'll go look for the answer. So being reliable is key. Here's my experimental step for you. I use the word experimental because I always want you to take this information and just don't listen to it and get caught up in a learning loop. Experiment with it in your particular role. Consistency and patience. Breaking free from micromanagement requires consistency, and oh Lord, it requires patience. Because I know what you're thinking, Ed. You're like, yeah, this all sounds good and everything, but I'm just tired of this. Every time I look up, he's over my shoulder, she's over my shoulder, and I can't understand why. You're going to have to be patient. You're going to have to build that trust. It's just, and again, like I said, I don't know what's happened to us. I do know what happened. Like I talked about earlier, it's just, we've been able to go through the working environment and have this job or get this degree or go get this particular training. And we're like, I know what I'm doing, but they don't know what you're doing. And so because they don't know what you're doing, this takes time to build patience. So be patient with them. What if we were to turn it around and put the shoe on the other foot, as they would say? How would you feel if you have to be accountable and responsible for a team and what that team member does? Okay, that's just a food for thought. I'll do the dishes on this one, but next time you got it. Ultimate proof, your ongoing dependability depends on ultimate proof against excessive oversight. I may have missed you on that one. What that translates to is, all I'm saying is, proof is in the pudding, as my granny would say, baby. Proof is in the pudding. You know, I don't know what she was meaning by that, like pudding and okay, I digress. But the point I'm trying to make, family, is that we have to have ongoing dependability in order to actually build that trust. Professional advice for last long and changing. Again, like I said, patience is key. Practices empathy, building reliability, looking for small improvements. But put yourself in your manager's position again. This way, it allows you to gain that particular perspective and then document your reliability. I know everybody doesn't want to document because now you got to sit down and fill out another document. But just like I said, documentation is always going to be conversation. So just ensure that you're documenting what it is. And you know how this is going to help you when it comes to performance appraisal time, every 6 months or every 12 or hour, if you do it every quarter. Now you have the documentation. Now it's just a copy and paste into your performance appraisal. That's just a free bonus. I wasn't even going to talk about that, but it is. It really helps you out. And again, I want you to understand, micromanagement happens to us all, or we have some experience and we have such a negative connotation to it. I don't like being micromanagement, so I'm not going to fool you. However, I want you to know it's part of the process. I want you to understand that until that trust is built, it's just like if you had a child. If you give that child a particular a chore or something and they're not executing on the chore, you may go into a micromanagement mode. Okay, maybe we don't want to go there. That's too sensitive. But I'm trying to make a point, family, is that we have to give that manager or leadership grace before we actually just get so in our feelings. We, as Eric Thomas says, we need to stick to the plan, not our emotions. Ooh, I like that. Here's one thing I want to let you know, family, because this is your turn. I don't like to get up here and just talk without any actionable or experimental steps. Day one, choose a strategy. Don't even choose. Make a decision on a strategy. Start with one approach that feels natural to you. And then you want to build on that. 7-day consistency. Find three key relationships. Identify the three most important workplace relationships you need to improve. You know, especially if you're a project manager or a project coordinator, or you're just in business, you know those three relationships. You're like, oh man, all right, let me set up this one-on-one and see how this can go. And last two, and I'll leave you with my thoughts here, is choose an action and experiment over hesitation. I know it's hard that you want to plan. And I know the cliche, and I've said it many times, but I'm kind of rethinking it. You know, they say if you plan to fail, you fail to plan. But sometimes people just plan, and they end up failing because they haven't took the time to execute. I may have just pulled up to your front door. I'm sorry. Do you mind if I come in and have a cup of coffee with you? Anyway, but to the last one, you have the power, so go and actually use it. Hey, family, I go by the name of ED. For all you smart and intelligent folks out there, that just simply means that I appreciate the opportunity, and I want you to know, I know how you feel about micromanagement. It's never easy, but I will let you know, if you're willing to take actionable items and experiment and execute, you can get through this. Thank you.